is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming my colleague Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and National Post columnist, writing of the new prime minister for Canada come the fall season of politics and going back to school, Mark Carney, a successful central banker, now a successful politician, except we have the conflict with the United States over tariffs and just generally over the relationship between the two countries. Conrad, writing of this, you indicate that as of yet, we're not certain which way Mr. Carney's going to go, but we're waiting for him to make a decision or to come to a negotiated end with Mr. Trump. The reason I offer this is because most recently, after all the turmoil since April about tariffs, the chief question mark hangs over the country, the People's Republic of China, for violating or allegedly violating WTO rules for years. And yet Mr. Trump announces they now have a 90-day extension to negotiate their deal. I thought to myself, well, why does China, the violator, get a 90-day, and Canada, the rule keeper, the very careful rule keeper, gets no extension whatsoever, and here come the tariffs. Is there an answer to that in some fashion about Mr. Carney or your government? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, I'm sure there is an answer, and I have to confess to you and to your listeners that I'm not really qualified to give it, but I think maybe between us, we can guess at it. The overall context of relations between the United States and China is a much larger and more competitive area than American-Canadian relations. And China is a geopolitical rival to the United States. Canada is a trading partner approximately equivalent size, but there has not in 200 years been a serious controversy in relations between Canada and the United States. And clearly, if the United States were to proceed with seriously obstructive measures from the Chinese standpoint in their trade relationship, then the president would wish, I think, to avoid a real confrontation with China if he could, even though he has serious grounds for objection to the trading policy, which he does not have against Canada. But I think really what's happened is since 75% of Canadian-American trade is governed by the existing agreement and the Canada-U.S.-Mexico agreement. And neither the U.S. nor Canada has given notice of renunciation of that agreement. The consequences of this increased American tariff on Canadian exports to the U.S. The consequences aren't that significant right now because it's a relatively small percentage of our trade. And I think with all the other things he's been doing, the president's been too busy. And my impression of Carney is he's, having won the election, never been in politics directly before, he's taking a holiday, which is what most people do in Canada in August. But he's going to have to come off dead center and give us all a hint of what he's going to do soon. He's promised to move the defense spending up to 5% of GDP. He's still professing to believe that a lot of money has to be spent on the environment. He recognizes, or says he does, the dangers of taxes being too high or the deficit too high. And, he's going to have to square the circle here. But in the meantime, everyone's just, assuming that he can take until Labor Day to familiarize himself with his new job and then tell us all what he intends to do.
Mr. Trump is a businessman with practice in dealing with real estate in Manhattan, which is a sharp elbow market. Mr. Trump is comfortable with dealing with personal relationships, sitting right across from him, making deals. This is true for executives of commercial companies. It's true for states. Mr. Carney looks to be somebody who would be comfortable in that environment. You come to the Oval Office, you sit with Mr. Trump, just the two of you, and you make a deal, there's a compromise. Is that something that makes sense for Mark Carney's temperament?
Yes. While he was a central banker for most of his career, he was an investment banker as a younger man. And for the last several years, he has been an executive with the largest financial institution in Canada, Brookfield Corporation, which I was a director of once upon a time. And I know the people who operate it. And he's not a businessman like Donald Trump is. He's not a thoroughly decisive executive, but he has rather liberal views politically, Carney does, but he's familiar with the business format, business methods, and is an articulate and agreeable person to meet, and I think that's what it's going to come to. I suspect that within a month from now, he will have returned to the White House, sat down with him, and hammered something in, just verbally. And, if you've got it verbally, you can commit it to paper quite quickly.
The only decision you point out in your column, Mr. Carney, has made, surprised me and surprised many commentators, the idea of recognizing the Palestinian state, which really doesn't much exist. Did that come as a surprise to you, Conrad?
I'm afraid it did, and I, of course, don't approve of it. I mean, there isn't a state there to recognize. I accept the view that any resolution of that terrible problem is going to be that the Palestinians have some entity that is theirs. There's a Jewish state, and there can be a Palestinian state, but the leaders of the Palestinian political currents have not wished that up to now. They could have had a state any time they wanted in the last 25 years. The problem they have had is their inability to accept the existence of the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. Now, Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, is almost 90 years old and had a long career as a terrorist, claims to have changed his tune. He claims that he will shape things up, run an honest government, have free elections, accept Israel's right to exist, and so forth. And if all that happens, I suppose it would be progress. But I don't think he represents anybody. I don't think anyone supports him among the Palestinians. And I think that Canada was just falling in behind the French and the British because, frankly, Europe has never had in my lifetime, at least my conscient lifetime, any policy towards the Middle East other than waiting for the American position and then taking a position more favorable to the Arabs. And I don't think Canada, France, and Britain combined have any influence in the Middle East anyway. But I think they're all it's like the children playing post office or something. They're pretending to be important where they aren't. And I think it's all nonsense, but on the other hand, I think something will happen there, but I don't think you can do much until you've destroyed the terrorist apparatus of Hamas and you have somebody amongst the Palestinians that you can deal with who has some authority and is prepared to live with Israel.
Conrad Black, National Post, waiting for Mark Carney. I'm John Batchelor.